Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody's doing fantastic on 3/16/22. Figure I'd lead it in with a little tip of the hat to our dearly departed Scott Hall this week. Been a rough week when it comes down to stuff like that. Pretty sad news, but nevertheless, we hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Dave Atwell, and going to pass it around to our steam panel while I go out there in the rain and light my cigar up. I'll tell you how bad I have it as I'll be standing there with my back up against the wall under the eave of my house, trying not to get wet just so I could smoke my cigar. That's how bad I want it. So that's the old vices calling me. We all got to have a bad habit, damn it. Mine cigars. So, well, that being said, let me introduce our steam panel from that fantastic of Arkansas. Out in the middle of nowhere where there's no beach and they can't find shark's teeth. Granny Hulkster, what's going on?
Oh, I'm just glad to be here. Not much, really. You know, like I said, it's been a crazy week and a lot of sadness in the wrestling world. And, you know, I'm just ready for a great show and ready for a better week, you know, and everything. And 2 weeks from today, guys, Granny is going to be leaving for her big trip to Texas, and I am counting the days down. I'll tell you, I just so need this vacation. I just can't wait. I am just so excited about this trip. Anthony's excited about it. David's excited about it. My friend Brian in New York, we're all excited about it. And I can't wait. I am just so ready. Just so ready.
Yeah, that's going to be a great trip. That's going to be a one-of-a-kind gig. And you guys are going to have the time of your lives doing that. And as I've said in recent shows, looking forward to the recap and letting us know what all went down, because that's definitely going to be exciting. And today, no less, is Stone Cold Day,
3/16. You bet.
So the Texas Rattlesnake is supposed to be fighting Kevin Owens, from what I understand. It'll be interesting to see him.
Well, I'm not sure it's actually going to be a fight, Dave. I think it's supposed to be the KO show, and Stone Cold Steve Austin is supposed to be his guest for his show. But, you know,
oh, really?
Monday night on Raw. Yeah, Monday night on Raw. I mean, you know, Seth Rollins calls Kevin Owens out there and says, oh, I've got this idea, you know. And, you know, you're going to do the KO show. Well, I'm going to do the Seth Rollins show, and I'm going to have Steve Austin as my guest. And Kevin Owens says, oh, no, 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 no. You know, I had him first. My idea, you know. So Sonya Deville made a match between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, and the winner to do their show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I'm pretty sure from the way Seth Rollins' expression looked Monday night at the end of Monday Night Raw, I think Kevin Owens won the match. So it looks like Kevin Owens got his wish, you know. But
yeah, that's because Stone Cold, he's getting a little long in the tooth like the rest of us. And I mean, truth be told, the guy shouldn't even be walking anyway. You know, due to his past injuries and everything. And I tell you, if you watch that, you ever watch that match where he, who was it that duffed the pile driver on him? It wasn't Owen Hart. Who was it that, God.
Oh, gosh. You would have had to ask me that.
Yeah, anyhow, if you ever watch that match, it's it's tough to watch because you can see his head just snap to the side, and it's like, damn. And, you know, he got up and was still able to continue on the match, but you can tell he didn't have any feeling in his body just by the way he was moving around. And, yeah, that's, whew, yeah, bad news. But, yeah, it'll be good to see Stone Cold back in there because Lord knows the WWE needs all the help they can get and these days. And I wonder what Vince is going to do when all these other guys just, you know, time catches up with them. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but hopefully Stone Cold put on a good show because he's always entertaining to watch. Got some great showmanship. So, but Granny, fantastic to have you aboard this evening.
I think it was the was it the Rock? Was it the Rock? Because I think Stone Cold's last match was the Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin battled for their final time at WrestleMania on March 30th, 2003.
Oh, really? Yeah,
yeah.
So you're talking
about
20 years.
I think it
might have
been the Rock. Because he said 19 years, you know, when he was doing that video for Kevin Owens, he said 19 years ago, so... That would have probably been right. Probably, I think it was The Rock.
It's hard to believe that the whole Attitude Era was 25 years ago. It is just hard to digest. It's, I mean, it's still so fresh, you know. But, yeah, it's something else. That it's been 25 years since all that was going down. And, man, hard to believe. But, yeah, definitely great to have you aboard. I might end up having to move up front. I hate like crazy to do this show in front of my house because I feel self-conscious that my neighbors might be able to hear me talking and I'm keeping them up on a Wednesday night, whereas here in the backyard I can talk to the trees and get away with it. But nevertheless, the rain has picked up. And thank Christ it's not a real cold rain, but it's a miserable rain where it's not actually – Raining, but it's enough to make it where you can't stand in it. So, nevertheless, enough of my weather report. Granny, fantastic to have you aboard this evening, as always,
thank you,
my dear.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to swat things to the northeast, to the wonderful city of Indianapolis and the outlying areas, parts unknown, if you will, and introduce my good brother, coming off a birthday bash, Tim. What is up?
Heck yeah. Well, so I can give you a pretty awesome weather report here. We have got to be sitting around like 71 degrees, something like that. I went for a nice run today. It feels amazing outside. I'm definitely loving the spring-like weather. We're overdue for it. So it sounds like we're having a better day than you. Don't know if that happens
yeah.
that often. But I
yeah,
wanted to say
it was almost 75 today here in Arkansas, guys. Sunny and
I think it might have gotten there here too. Might have. It was pretty warm. I wanted to say, you know, Granny's got a countdown, and it was kind of made me think. And I was like, dang it, I need something to count down to. And of course, it only took me about 2.5 seconds to come up with something to count down to. And it just overwhelms me with joy when I think that I can do a countdown to this now. Apparently, as I alluded to in the green room, I believe Congress has unanimously passed the whatever it would take to permanently shut off daylight savings time. So that's going to take effect probably sometime next year. So whatever that date is, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to put a timer in every room in my house so that I can constantly know that we are going toward that time. Because this has been the absolute worst week of the year yet, and it's not because of weather or anything else. It's because of the frickin' daylight savings time change. It has kicked my ass, and I'm kind of starting to get over it a little bit. But yeah, it's terrible. I even posted, you know, an article about how bad it is for your health. So definitely looking forward to it being done, and looking forward to a good show.
Well, you know, yeah, you talk about countdowns, guys. I've got a good friend that lives in Tennessee. His name's Alan Lamb. He's one of my wrestling buddies. He goes by all that Alan Steele. And anyways, he always does a countdown to Christmas. I mean, now, like a couple years ago, he was kind of late in getting it started. But I know the last year or so, you know, after Christmas, he'll start in like 363 days till Christmas. He does the countdown till Christmas thing, you know. And the year that he waited so long, I was kind of roughing him up. I said, well, aren't you a little late getting that countdown started this year, Alan?
Yeah, that's. Well, I got to tell you, when it comes down to daylight savings time, I have often said they need to do one or the other. They need to either leave everything on daylight savings time or leave it on standard time. But if I had my druthers, it would be standard time. And, you know, as we were speaking in the green room, there's out here on the coast, of course, the beach stores and the beach is always, well, we need more daylight. You know, it's more money coming in. You know, we need more daylight. Well, you know, we also don't need children getting on the bus at 07 in the morning and it's still dark. So, you know, we got to put our priorities in line.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And, you know, if folks are at the beach farting around and everything, you know, you're already in the risk factor as it is. But in the meantime, you know, you've got, you know, fourth, fifth graders standing at a damn cold bus stop waiting for the bus to pull up, and they're out there in the darkness. And, you know, the way the world is now, I mean, I'm sure people got hurt and snapped up 100 years ago, but for some reason here suddenly it's become – like in vogue to snatch kids up and that kind of jazz. So, yeah, I would rather them just go to a standard time and everybody get their headlights calibrated in their cars and go with it. Because it does that. And, you know, the moving up probably screws me up more than the moving back, because – you figure if you're used to going to bed at, say, 11 o'clock at night, you're actually going to bed at 10, which right. Arguably people say, oh, wow, man, I'm getting extra hours worth of sleep. Not necessarily, because your body is conditioned to a habit, you know? I know this week I've been – I can't wake up. In other words, I get up. I let the dogs out, but I have nothing in the tank. I feel like I haven't slept. And it's, I don't know, not to mention the fact that you lose hours worth of drinking on that one day a year.
Well, it happened to be my birthday, so I really got shortchanged.
Oh, God.
My birthday was an hour less than any other year.
Yeah, that's fucking...
Yeah, but... You know, the thing that also that kind of ticks me off is it's just – and like, you know, you already talked about the bus stop. That's huge. It was getting to be daylight when Tanner would go out now. And I had just commented on it. I was like, oh, wow, it's getting daylight now. And then I didn't realize that it was coming up so fast. And, you know, so it changed. I was like, oh, this is going to suck. And sure enough, it's back to being dark now when we go out to the bus stop. Me at work, it ends up – for probably not even a month, maybe around a month, I actually get daylight on my way to work, because I go in, you know, butt crack it on. I'm usually pulling in the parking garage around 6 o'clock in the morning, so, you know, I'm there pretty early. But so it does get daylight for a little bit of time, but thanks to the time change, you know, like if it weren't there, I would probably have – I mean, I don't know, at least double the amount of time throughout the year that, you know, it might actually be light out on my way in. And then, you know, there's the fact that, like, I personally think the first, you know, bit of time that I spend at work in the building is kind of depressing because it's like nighttime outside. And then as the sun comes up, you kind of like wake up with it, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Here comes the sun now, and it's kind of cool to watch it come up. And then, you know, boom, your day starts. It's like, you know, you kind of need that sun for the energy. And now it's like, okay, back to having an hour more of, you know, until the sun actually comes up. So it's just kind of sucky all the way around. But, yeah, like, and like you said, with the sleep, I personally can't go to bed early. Like, I can. If I'm tired, I can. But I'm not going to stay asleep. If I go to bed, you know, around 9 to 10, somewhere like that, my ass is waking up at probably 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I won't be able to go back to sleep. I finally will, and then it'll just be this mind game, you know, and then it's like I get zero sleep. And that's what's happened. So then I was like, all right, to hell with this. Because I switched my sense, you know, sometimes I go downtown to work, and then the rest of the week I can work from home. So I can sleep an hour later, so I thought, I'm going to use that to my advantage. So I got to sleep in an hour, and I stayed up, like, till midnight, which is kind of ridiculous, but I did it because, really, my body was used to that being 11 o'clock. So, you know, I still kind of lost the amount of time, so it kind of seemed counterproductive to stay up later to try to, you know, wave off my tiredness, but there was a reason for it. You know, I didn't want to go to bed earlier because I figured I'd end up waking up again. So I did that last night. I think tonight maybe I'll get back on schedule. But the whole thing just sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the argument of the commute and all that kind of jazz. You know, people head and work in the morning. And I know here when we bought this house in 99, one of the perks of living out here in the middle of nowhere was the fact that you can go places. You know, it wasn't one of these things where it take you 10 minutes to get out of your neighborhood. And now we have so much base traffic coming down Highway 258 here that there's a light that's probably maybe a mile from the house. And when that light turns red, you can't get out of the neighborhood because the cars will back up two lanes for an entire mile. And then when that light turns green, you got to wait for all those asses to shuffle forward and hope somebody waves you in. And so now, you know, where you're able to get the whole, you see somebody wave you in or somebody can see you sitting there waiting. Now it's dark and you're trying to figure out those headlights coming. Right. Are they in the left lane? Are they in the right lane? Yak. And, yeah, it's just there's so much that goes down in the morning business-wise versus if you need the daylight, I would err on the side of business versus the side of grab-assing. You know, and granted, you know, I'd like to play a little more, don't get me wrong, but on the flip side, if it means everybody can get around safely, then I dare say, let's get the daylight in the morning. We'll, you know, we'll light lamps in the evening time. And as I alluded to in the green room, here's the old man in me saying your ass ought to be inside at night anyway. Damn it.
Exactly.
Slow down.
And, you know, I think the only argument that I could possibly see for for actually keeping daylight savings time, the absolute only thing I could see would be for Halloween and the parents that don't want to, you know, walk the kids around in the dark. Now, I'm not going to – I personally don't care. I loved it that Halloween it was more dark because when I was a kid, we wouldn't go raising hell or anything, but – we would walk around with the trick-or-treaters and just be out and about, you know, doing whatever, scaring people or, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was just, it was more fun because, well, the other thing that we did is I started doing a graveyard when I was like probably 10 or 11. My friend would come over and we'd set up this graveyard and we'd hide in the yard and we would like pull strings attached to like whatever and make crap move and all this. And it was fun to do because you could hide because it was dark out. By the time people started really trick-or-treating, it was dark out. See, we didn't always switch over. Like I said, that was Mitch Daniels that switched it. So when I was a kid growing up, you know, it got darker earlier. And, you know, Halloween was fun for me. And now it's because of the switch they've made it you know, obviously it's lighter a lot longer. I could never do that as a kid, but I'm not going to argue that because I get it. You know, there's people, there's parents that, you know, this is a lot safer to them. So, and I can see that. So, but that would be the absolute only argument, you know, and like you're talking about, like recreation. Okay, so golf courses, they can stay open longer. Well, dumbasses, if it's the other way around, they can just get out there earlier, you know?
Yeah, you just opened earlier. Yeah.
So I don't see how that's beneficial at all. I don't know.
Well,
it's asinine if you ask me.
I could tell you. You know, they've often said that the daylight savings time, part of that was due to the, you know, you figure back when they put this stuff in place, you know, 75% of the U.S. population was agrarian. Seeing that like 0.0004% of the American population is now agrarian, not counting us folks growing down tomatoes in the backyard. When I'm driving, and when I drive to work, it ain't nothing but tobacco and cotton and soybeans and all that good stuff. And I can tell you those farmhouses at 6 o'clock in the evening are dark. So, you want to run. I don't, even during daylight savings time, I don't see any damn combines or tractors out there cruising around at 6:30 in the evening. So,
right.
You know, the argument for giving the farmers extra daylight, and they're not really getting extra daylight. They're just getting rescheduled daylight. So it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's indifferent.
And, I mean,
now, I'm going to go carry on the show. I'm going to click Stro in real quick.
Good call. I'll catch that.
I got to click scroll in. So if you want to go ahead and carry on about daylight savings time.
Well, you know, I got a funny I got a funny story about the time, you know, and, you know, this kind of ties in with Dave talking about the farmers, you know. I mean, for 17 years, I lived in a little farming community in western Kansas called St. Francis. We were like 35 miles west of Goodland. We were the last town in Kansas before you got into Colorado and Nebraska. We were like 10 miles from the Colorado line, 13 miles from the Nebraska line. And we had a couple brothers out there that were farmers. And every year on this time change, they would get into an argument about the time, because one brother would say, oh, my cows can't milk unless it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And the other one would say, oh, my cows can't milk unless it's 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, like the cows are going to know what time it is. Like they've got a clock on the wall in the barn. Oh, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to be milked.
Right.
Those are union cows.
Maybe cows,
they only
maybe
put
cows
out milk
do
between
know
certain hours.
When it's time for them to be milked. I don't know. You know, cows can be pretty smart sometimes. You know,
Oh my goodness! The old McDonald had a farm. Move over. This one takes the cake.
So Stro, it's good for you. Good of you to join us this evening. We were. We were having a slight bitch fest over this daylight savings time, how it needs to be one or the other. you do a lot of traveling. And now I can tell you, and I'm sure I know, Granny, you do quite a bit of traveling too, here of late and everything. You know, Stro, when you go to these other places and they don't observe daylight savings time, kind of like flying, you know, especially when you're flying like to the west, you live here on the east and you fly to the west and you go there and you catch a flight here at 06 in the morning and you fly, you've been awake. Let's say you get to the airport at 6, you get on your plane at 10, and you fly for 3 hours and you land in California, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning there. And you're like, well, damn, I've been up for 8 hours. How bad screw you up?
Leave it to them to make things more confusing in the world. I mean, oh my God, yeah. It's bad enough as it is, you know, with the time zones and, you know, not only just flying across country, but if you have to go overseas somewhere, dear Lord, I mean, you go from 6 hour to 15 hour flights and all these different time zones throughout the world. And now, and I don't know. I mean, when I saw this on the news, it, you know, I'm like, I didn't know there was a ruling out there or on daylight savings time. I thought it was like a part of nature to where daylight. And nighttime pretty much does its own thing with nature taking its course, and now there's rulings. And I mean, I thought it was hilarious when I heard about this ruling, because I mean, how can you put a ruling on something like this? I mean, nature's going to do what it wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's part of my thing. What is the natural? Take for instance, like leap years. I understand leap years because there's that quarter of a day that we don't count that you get every year.
Right.
So in the event that leap years weren't in place, we would probably be in 2019 right now, is from what I think it was, that we'd be so far behind for not crediting ourselves with that extra quarter of a day every year. So I understand that. And it's universal. You know, even the guys in Iran say this is February 29th, you know, but the daylight savings time thing, you got some states that observe it. You got some states that don't. You got some states that observe it longer or shorter. So, and when you're traveling, you know, it's just a matter of a step over the line. And when you're traveling east to west, you're traveling north to south, that ain't no sweat. But when you're traveling east to west, and, you know, Stro, you've made the trip down there to Myrtle Beach enough times. You know, you get down there to the end of the Carolina line, and you can see the pavement change in the road there at the South Carolina line. I can actually have my left foot in North Carolina and my right foot in South Carolina, if I wanted to, right there in front of that fireworks place, right? So,
oh yeah.
Let's say South Carolina, for the sake of argument, doesn't observe daylight savings time. So I'm driving, and yeah. So how hosed up would that be? Let's see. If I'm and give me a minute while I do the math. If I'm driving there and we're an hour ahead in North Carolina and I'm getting there, well, yeah, it's a perfect example. Damn, I'm good. If I'm getting there, say 11 o'clock, my internal clock is telling me it's lunchtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
Here in North Carolina, it's 11 o'clock. I take that 1 foot across the state line, and since they don't observe daylight savings time, it is now 10 o'clock. So I have to wait a whole other hour before I can get a burger in me. You see what I'm saying? And it's
Oh yeah.
That's why they just need to make a call on it and let it be, because it's just too it screws with people's insides a little too much. And
that's,
you know,
just like
as
saying,
Tim was talking.
That's just like saying they're going to put a ban on rain.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be hard to fight out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like it in 2022. Everybody turn back your calendars. Go dig out 1987. It's now going to be the year 1987.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Yeah. Go get your parachute pants. Flatten out some cardboard, do some breakdancing in your driveway. Yeah, it's something else. But I know tonight I had mentioned that perhaps we should do the cons survival guide thing this evening with all the cons popping up and getting back into gear. But I figure with this evening, the way we're going and everything, I thought that maybe perhaps we could change it around, and with Stro joining us, that just helps punctuate the idea. You know, we, as a matter of fact, before we go another minute, let me officially do this. I am pouring one out to Mr. Scott Hall, our dearly departed Wolf Pack. Sad news to hear of his departure and everything this week. But, you know, I had said it to my dad that it sucks because we've lost the Brain, we've lost Mean Gene, we've lost Dusty, we lost Randy. Now, of course, you know, we've lost Scott Hall, but yet Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan are still walking this planet. Eric Bischoff is still walking this planet. It's like there is no justice at all. And so I thought maybe perhaps that we can go and touch on some of our dearly departed wrestling friends and kind of rehash some good memories on those guys. So
now, Brandon, you better not be deviating from the plan. Hey, you better not be deviating from the plan just because I said I wouldn't be able to contribute much because of my lack of knowledge of cons. I'd still engage in it. All right. As long as it's not my fault.
I am deviating from plan because we have to keep the spirit of Todd in the building. And seeing that he's not here to tangent off a show, I must fill in his shoes. So,
yeah. Big hugs. Big hugs,
everybody. But yeah. Oh, and while we're at it, we should pass on our best wishes to our good brother in arms, the Amazing Velvet.
That's right. Prayers. Hugs and prayers,
yeah.
Velvet.
Hope you get to feeling better and keep fighting a good fight, young man. And by God, you got a lot of people in your corner. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
And we miss you. Just keep getting it, man. You got this, you know. So, Granny, I'm going to ask you to lead us off. If you could bring a wrestler back, I know it's going to be a tough question, and I'm sure you can have a thousand answers for me.
Well, I wanted to share something. Being that you mentioned Scott Hall, I wanted to share something a little interesting that I know about Scott Hall with you guys. I'm originally from Kansas.
You got Kansas NWO? That'd be great.
No. Stroh, let me talk, okay? Well, okay, I went to a high school. I moved to Leavenworth, Kansas in 1979, and I started high school at Leavenworth Senior High School. Well, I found out that in 1974-75, the basketball coach, who was, at the time, Coach Bob Knoll, he shared this on his Facebook the other day after Scott Hall had passed away Monday night. I wanted to read this to you guys really quick. It says, blast from the past. It is with great sadness that we have been made aware of the passing of one of LHS finest student athletes, Scott Hall. Scott Hall was an outstandingly talented young man that played on the Super Softs H3 basketball team that won 18 games and lost zero. Scott was so talented that he moved to the H3 varsity and helped contribute to their success. The family moved after his sophomore season, but his glory years were soon to begin. Scott became involved with WWE wrestling. Of course, Razor Ramon. Scott became a WWE wrestling legend and had been inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Scott had many LHS teammates and students that remembered him well. And he posted two pictures of when Scott Hall was on those basketball teams. And I thought that was really interesting that Scott Hall attended the same school that I attended just 4 or 5 years earlier.
Wow.
See there, Granny?
I thought that was
when
really
you're NWO, you're NWO for life.
That was before Granny was ever thought of, Stroh. And I got to share something with you guys, too. And Stroh already knows this because I called in to end the room last night. My son had this crazy idea because we're going to WrestleMania, that we needed to wear NWO shirts, you know.
Yeah.
And I told my son, I said, if and only if Granny would wear one, and that's a big if, I would have to wear the red and black because I like wolves. So Stro came up
yes.
with a name last night for me, say, and he says, oh, Wolfpack Granny. And my and Stro, I got to tell you, I told my son that last night. He about died laughing. Anthony says, oh, Mom, I love that. Now we definitely need those shirts. And I said, no, we don't need those
yes.
shirts. No,
yes, they
would sound like
hot,
my,
like
sound
cakes,
like my son. You sound like my son.
They would sound like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah, well, that, it ain't going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen, okay? It's not going to happen. But if I could,
yeah.
if I could bring, I have two choices that if we had
yeah.
an opportunity to bring a wrestler back, I think two of my choices would be the Ultimate Warrior and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, I'm all in for Piper. I love the Roddy Piper.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's and you know, Piper passing kind of hit us between the eyes too. You know, Scott Hall, of course. You know, he had, as they say, he had his demons.
Yeah.
You know, that gentleman, he, you know, I think all of us to a certain extent knew there was a matter of when more than if with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Piper, his stuff came out of nowhere. And I remember my dad shot me a text and said, you know, Piper died today. And I was like, ah, damn it, my dad's getting bored. He's going senile. Let me Google it. And I have a catchphrase, and y'all have heard me say it. I always say, Google that shit. Whenever somebody asks me a question, I'm like, Google that shit. You know? So I read his text, and I was like, ah, wait a minute, let me Google that shit. And I hit the wrong thing. I hit the wrong app on my phone, and it pulled the news up. And the first thing on the news thing said, wrestler Roddy Piper passed away at whatever it was, 60. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Warrior,
yeah,
you know,
because,
I'll be all in for bringing the Warrior back, too. As long as he, you know, stays on decaf, you know, he'd be okay.
Yeah, he's kind of an odd character, man. He's but you know, Stro, and again, I throw you under the bus with a lot of the wrestling stuff because I know I'm preaching to the choir when I speak to you on these things. But there are some guys out there there's a particular life choice you make, and I understand when you're in the wrestling business, it's a necessity sometimes. If you recall Hercules Hernandez. When he first started out, I thought Hercules Hernandez was great. I mean, when he first got in, but he was athletic, but he wasn't big, if you understand the meaning of the two. And then he went away for a little while, and when he came back, he was hardly recognizable. I mean, it was almost cartoonish how big he had gotten. If you recall Eddie Guerrero, kind of did the same thing. And you know, when you look at the Davey Boy Smiths, the Rick Rudes, you kind of know that the clock is ticking with these guys. Road Warrior Hawk, you know, the stories about him is just legendary, about him being, you know, hot tempered and the drugs and everything. But Piper on the flip hand, on the flip side, Piper never impressed me as a guy who juiced. He never impressed me as a guy that I always felt like he ran on a natural energy. And after he got out of the wrestling business, you found out that he was such a big family guy. It just seemed. It just seemed a surprise that he had passed away at such a young age and of a heart attack, no less, you know?
Yeah. You know, interesting enough, Hercules Hernandez started out as, before he became Hercules Hernandez, he was one of the original assassins with Jody Hamilton
back
in the day. The assassins were, you know, the tag team assassins, and Hercules Hernandez was one of the assassins. Interesting enough.
For crying out loud.
So that he was doing this thing with Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Vaiant, back in the day before he became Hercules.
How is Boogie doing? Okay. We haven't seen him in a little bit. How's Boogie doing?
No, he's doing great. Him and his wife are still hanging out in Virginia, and I guess the you know, during retirement or semi-retirement, you know, he still does appearances every now and then. But I mean, they still got the school up in Charlottesville, Virginia. And but yeah, Lester Hardy's doing really pretty good. And I mean, he stays healthy these days. I mean, he's you know, he's on this he loves his goat milk diet and everything. yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah, he's a pretty amazing guy, man. It was a pleasure meeting him and hanging out with him at Cape Fear Con that time. We had him out there, and you know, it was amazing how you know, all of us are aging, and you know, our hair isn't the way it used to be, and our posture isn't the way it used to be, and our physique isn't the way it used to be. But when they handed Jimmy Valiant the mic, it was almost like we went back to 1983. Handing that guy the mic, he just lit up, and it was incredible watching him. He didn't miss a beat. He still had it, you know.
Oh, great, great guy. You know, he told me one time, he said, you know what? You and I forever be linked together. And I asked him, I said, like, well, why do you say that, buddy? So he pulls his shirt up, right, and he has a tattoo on his stomach that says Papa on it. I'm like, I'll be no one.
That's funny.
Oh, my Lord.
That's funny.
Hilarious. He kills me.
So, Tim, what kind of I know you're not totally steeped in the wrestling biz, but you know enough to have some fandom. So if you could go up to the pearly gates and demand the return, who would you ask for?
I was so curious if you were going to just leapfrog over me and try to make it nonchalant.
No, hell no. Pop quiz, young man.
I've got a pick. And it would be, I think I would have to say, and I like everybody else's selections, I would probably choose Andre the Giant. I've always liked him. And, of course, I liked his role in, what is that, Princess Bride. And,
what a film.
And I know he was, I think he was, he had a big heart. From what I can recall hearing about him. So, I really like that dude. I'd bring him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andre, yeah, there's
awesome. Y'all would have loved Andre, man, I swear. He's great.
Yeah, I heard he was a super great guy. Now, backstage, I heard you didn't want to screw with him. If you weren't on his list, then you weren't on his list. But when it comes down to the fans, he just And it actually from, I don't know, I'm sure you guys watched that HBO Andre the Giant thing. That's a great special.
Oh, I have not. I need to.
You got to see it if you get a chance. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I got to check that out.
And you find out that Andre had such, and the part about Andre that I didn't realize was that when they put him against Hogan, and they actually turn him into a bad guy there for a little bit, it actually hurt his feelings. You know, it actually was like,
wow,
it messed him up. And he told Vince, he says, no, I'm a man of the people. I'm not a bad guy, you know, and it actually hit him in the heart, you know, and amazing stuff. Yeah. If you get a chance, if you got HBO Max, take a look at it. Cause it's, I think, a little over an hour, but
I forgot to tell y'all. I forgot to tell y'all the Ultimate Warrior story when Granny mentioned Warrior, right? I don't know if I've mentioned this to you. It's a funny story. It's about him and Mick Foley, right? Him and Mick Foley walking through this this cookie store, right? And Ultimate Warrior buys a bag of cookies, right? And all he does when he buys a bag of cookies, he opens the bag, right? He just sniffs the cookies, right? And like he's taking in the aroma of the cookies. And he just kind of makes a loud yell, right, and just leaves the store with the bag of cookies sitting there still on the shelf, right? So Mick fully seen his bag of cookies over there. He just walks right over and starts eating his cookies.
Yeah, the Warrior was definitely an odd character, man, and his passing was pretty sad too, man. That was, you know, the guy gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, and then the night he's gone. I mean, despite his past digressions and everything, it just, that one kind of gets you in the feels too when it comes down to it.
Yeah, you know, he made peace with everybody that weekend too. You know, man.
Another good choice would be Animal.
Yeah.
Oh, Road Warrior Animal,
Road Warrior Animal.
What a great guy. Him and Hawkins are great, man.
Yeah. Road Warriors,
I met him about 6 months before he passed, and that was like second or third time I had met Animal, and every time dude is nothing but shake your hand. How's it going, man? Talks to you like he's known you forever. Tell you, Hawk was intimidating. He was kind of scary because when he talked to you, you didn't quite, you couldn't really read him when you were talking to him. But Animal always talked to you like you know, you'd been neighbors for years. And, that's a good call, Granny. Good call.
You know, World War Animal helped out Hawk one time in the Starcade. Remember the Night of the Skywalkers where they were wrestling the next in the scaffold match? Well, prior to the Starcade event, Hawk broke his leg in a show in Japan they had. And say, World War Animal, he was good with sports medicine, right? So he taped up his leg to where he was able to actually walk. And the Road Warriors were actually in the pay-per-view event with the scaffold match of Midnight Express with Hawk having a broke leg. And you would never know
that's
it because he had taped it up so good. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's nuts. Yeah, that's, I mean, just the thought of that. I mean, that falls in there with Kerry Von Erich. You know, we found out after his death years later that he lost that foot in that motorcycle accident, and the guy was actually wrestling for prosthetic foot. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't walk with all of my damn body parts. How the hell is this guy wrestling with a prosthetic foot?
It's amazing.
All I can do to walk up the damn steps. Yeah, it's incredible. So, Stro, I'm going to pass it your way, and I'm sure your wheels have been turning since we started this conversation, and you have a long, long list of guys you'd bring back. So please go ahead and continue on.
Honestly, man, I'd bring them all back if I could. I mean, they're like family to me, you know. And you know, losing Scott recently, that really hit home. So many I would bring back if I could. I would love to bring back Harley Race. Harley, man, I loved Harley so much.
Harley,
even though
awesome.
You know, Follow him in car trips was hell because I mean he was like NASCAR to him, man. And we'll go down the mountains, right? And he's just hauling, man. And by the time we got our destination, Harley, next time let me ride with you, because I hate falling.
Don't want nothing to do with it.
Oh my God, but he's great. I'd bring Harley back. I think Dusty back. Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
Oh my God, so many. You know, I mean, if I could bring them back all, I could, honestly, man. I mean, I really couldn't pinpoint down which one, but I mean, they've been all good to me, so they're, you know, if I could.
I totally
but I know they haven't right now. They have their own territory doing their thing, so.
You know, because they're the ones out there that left us under sad circumstances. You know, the Miss Elizabeth, the Von Erichs, you know,
yeah.
The guys that passed through tragedy. And again, you know, not excusing or not casting shade on the Rick Rudes or the Davy Boy Smiths or the Eddie Guerreros of the world or the Hercules Hernandez. But, you know, when you start that juicing, you kind of know that there's a risk to what you're doing. So you got to kind of take a little ownership. Yeah, and a good example is like this cigar I'm smoking right now. With every cigar, I may be one step closer to the grave. And I realize that every time I light up. So in the event one day my whole bottom jaw falls off because of the smoking of cigars, I can't really piss and moan at Arturo Fuente Corporation for the cigars. I was the one who did this stuff. I made my own mind up.
Man. You and Harley would love each other, man, because he was a big cigar smoker too, man. He loved his cigars, right?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one time, this story with him and Kurt Hennig, right? This is back, a young Kurt Hennig. They were getting ready to have a match, and Harley was sitting in his chair puffing one, right, cigar. And he says, "What's your finish, kid?" Kurt Hennig, you know, he was younger then, you know, he's like, "Drop kick off the top rope." Then Harley leans back in his chair, gets another puff in, right? Just, "I'll move."
Shot that nail 34 holes in it.
Oh, I love Harley, man. He's great. He was tough as nails, man. Harley was. Matter of fact,
yeah.
The match he had with Tommy Rich, they where Tommy won the title, the NWA World title. They had Andre at ringside as special enforcer, and the deal was, Harley, you know, as tough as he was, you know, they were afraid Harley, if he would get upset, you know, he would do business, and they figured Andre was the only guy in the locker room that could handle Harley. Harley
yeah.
Stuff and sales, but Harley was cool, you know what I mean? But and him and Tommy, you know, were good friends too, so you know, it worked out. But yeah, that's how tough Harley was, man. Great guy though. Oh my God. One of the last times I saw him, he was an event, special guest event. He was a big tribute show, and Lex Luger and I went to pay him a visit, right? And we sat next to him watching the show, and he's telling me, "Oh my God, they've had me here all night long. I've just been puffing one after another. They've had 20 some matches, and I'm about to fall asleep."
Yeah, I imagine that, you know, for him, he saw, and here I go again. I'm going to say something that might be deemed unpopular, but to a certain extent, in the 80s, when Vince Sr. turned everything over to Vince Jr., WWF, as it was then, kind of became almost – it had a broader expanse. It had a broader reach television-wise, but there was kind of a cartoonish aspect to it because they deemed – they kind of leaned more on – characters than they did the wrestlers, you know, where people, you know, take for instance Harley Race. Harley Race was Harley Race, but then when he went to the WWF, he was the king.
Yeah.
I'm sure guys like Harley Race, you know, because that was the thing, and it was NWA back in the day when Crockett Promotions was running things, and then when Ted Turner bought everything out, it switched over to WCW, but the difference between the two was that WCW was more of a wrestling, a purist wrestling organization where, you know, there were still arm bars and hammer locks and, you know, front chanceries and, you know, abdominal stretches, whereas, you know, you move into the WWF and you had tombstones and that kind of stuff going on. And I imagine Harley Race probably saw an amazing amount of flux in the business coming up from the 60s and fighting into the 90s as he did. That guy was probably a walking encyclopedia when it comes down to wrestling. So
did you hear about the story where Hulk Hogan made him mad and Harley wanted to go wring his neck? And Harley showed up at a WWE show wanting to go after Hogan.
Hogan
made him upset. Yeah. Oh, my God. They worked things out, man.
Oh, wow.
Harley had them all sweating, man. Oh, my God. You know, Harley and Flair were, back when they were world champions, they pretty much stayed loyal to the NWA, right, when Vince wanted them to cross over to the WWE at the time.
Yeah.
And Harley said this few times that, you know, matter of fact, Harley, he wanted Harley to pull out the Starrcade, I think the story from understand. And Harley told him no, you know, that he was, you know, devoted at the time to the NWA. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were loyal. They were loyal.
Yeah. And it's good to hear. And, you know, truth be told, historically speaking, had the Crockett's held on to things, I think that history would have been different, and perhaps Vince would have came out on top regardless, but I kind of feel that, and again, the Crockett family was, I go back to the wrestling purists, they were in the wrestling business for the sake of the sport, whereas when Turner got it, it was a property. It was It was a commodity. It's just like the Atlanta Braves. When he bought the Atlanta Braves, it's kind of like he wasn't there for baseball. It was a thing he owned. And perhaps because it was on Ted Turner's watch is when they I can't remember the guy's name, the CEO of Pizza Hut, when they brought him over to
run the WCW. Oh, Jim Hurt. Rick Flair.
Yeah,
time.
There you go.
Good for
you. Yeah.
Oh,
so
Jim Hurd.
You know, that's a business move. The Crockett's would have never made that move. The Crockett's would have never done that. So
no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame how that all went down, but so here I am. I'm sitting here, I got my wheels turning, I'm trying to think a man who. And I've got so many names. I'm thinking Wahoo. I'm definitely thinking Macho. And, of course, as you guys alluded to, you know, the Dream. I tell you, I got two I'm going to throw out there. One's going to be unpopular, and the other one's going to be popular. The popular one, of course, is Mean Gene Okerlund. When you talk about wrestling encyclopedias,
Mean Gene.
Gene Okerlund had to have seen it all. And his ability to tell a story, his ability to retain knowledge was bar none. And he's one of those guys you wish could live to be 1,000 years old just so you can have the ability to listen to his stories. His storytelling was fascinating. Just beyond
the best. Some of the best times I had in WCW was hanging out with him and Bobby Heenan. Some of the best times.
Well,
oh my God, those guys are the best.
I was going to asterisk Heenan in there too. Well said, Stro, because Heenan to me, though Heenan nowadays could not be the Heenan that he was in the 80s and 90s because of all his off-color jokes and everything. But Heenan was absolutely hilarious. And
oh my God.
he gave so much oomph to he could take a lousy match and turn it into something you'd watch just by him running his mouth. So Mean Gene and Heenan would definitely be my two good side guys, good happy story guys that I'd like to bring back.
Bischoff told him one time, he told Bob, he said, "Hey, look, he's throwing the four fingers up. It's the sign of the horseman, right?" And he didn't look back down and say, "With Hogan, I only got one finger."
It's a middle finger. As it should be. There ain't no justice in the world. Like I said, Hogan's going to live to be 119 just because that's the way life goes. But now the unpopular one I'm going to say, and it's a group thing, is I would love to see the entire Benoit family come back. Little David,
oh man,
Nancy, and Chris. Chris was, I mean, for all of us 5'7" guys, Chris was a hero to us because he wasn't the Scott Halls. He wasn't the Hulk Hogans. He wasn't the Kevin Nashes, man. He was one of us, you know. And when he won the title, I remember watching it, him winning the title, and Dale's like, "You crying?" I'm like,
"No, I'm not."
"No, it's pollen." She's like, "Yeah, it's December." You know,
pollen.
I teared up, man, because here it was. He finally had reached it. And, you know, the whole story, I still to this day still think there's a little more to that story.
I'm with you.
Does it involve aliens and the Russian mob and all this kind of stuff? No. I still think, I'll put it to you this way, and this is going to sound horrible. Me and Dale have been together for 26 years. I get it. Because for me to sit right here and say that we've been together for 26 years and it's been nothing but sunshine and roses, I'd be lying my ass off. You know? And you got to figure in the wrestling schedule, the amount of, you know, and when you're wrestling 240 times a year, that's not counting having to fly. That's not counting in sitting in airports and delayed flights and all that kind of crap going on. And I mean, there's so much, and you're constantly on the go. And then you salt in the steroids, and, you know, you come home and there's stress in the household. Things happen. And I am not by no means advocating what he did or said that he was right or he was the victim. He did a bad thing. He did a horrible, horrible thing. But I still think had that gentleman gotten some help, I put it to you this way, had he gotten the help that's available to these guys now, I think that would have had a different ending. And I don't think it would be an ending. I think he'd still be kicking ass, to be honest with you. So,
back when he was going strong in his career, I remember being in the airport with Scott Norton, who was also an NWO member, right? Big Scott Norton. And we're talking, and someone asked him, he said, who would the Horseman would he like to, you know, wrestle? And he said, Chris Benoit. And it kind of struck them funny, and they're like, why Benoit? And Scott told him, because he looks like he can halfway kick my ass.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, even though, you know, like you said, he wasn't the biggest, one of the bigger guys, but he was, you know, tough as nails, you know?
Yeah, and athletic as hell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's, I definitely love to see that entire family come back around and get a different ending, because just a sad tale, you know? So, Granny, I have a special mission for you if you're willing to take it, young lady. I have to go inside, refresh my drink, and run to the head, seeing I can't go in the woods in this rain as I usually do during the show. So what I need you to do, that's another one of those inside pop culture stars thing. You guys have no idea how many times we walk away and pee during this show, but we're real good at masking it. So, yeah, to make things perfectly clear and blow the smoke away from the damn facade that is pop culture stars, Granny Hulkster, I have to get another beer and I have to pee. Can you cover for me while I'm gone?
I'll do my very best.
I can get this one. I got another one. I'm going to pull a wrestler out of my ass, all right? I got one.
Go for it, Tim.
All right. Go on and do that, and then we'll get your input on this when you get back. I'm totally pulling this one out of my arse here. I'm not even going to lie. What about, and I say that because if he was a heel, if he was a bad guy that Granny likes, you know, maybe I might get tomatoes thrown at me. So I don't want anyone to think that. What about Crash Holly?
Oh, Crash, man. Yeah, he was great, man. I miss Crash.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture. It looks familiar, but I don't know much about him. And honestly, looks like he died way too young, and unfortunately, it was related to drugs and alcohol. But
sad, man.
He was WWF for, what was this, about 4 years or so? Looks like 99 to 2003.
He used to carry the scales with him through the ring and claimed that he was a heavyweight. It was hilarious.
So that looked like it said he actually won, was it a tag team championship? Was that WWF or what?
Yeah, okay. That's it.
All right. Okay. So now, Granny, now you can go with it and run.
When Stroh was talking about Harley Race earlier, you know, I had an opportunity to get to see Harley at a traditional championship wrestling show back in 2011, 2012. I think 2011 it was. He actually had his son Leland race with him, and Leland and I and Leland's wife, Stacey O'Brien, are really good friends. And I'll tell you, Harley was just absolutely amazing. And this guy showed up at TCW by the name of Sean Schultz, and he comes out bashing Harley and just saying all sorts of things about Harley. Well, Granny had to get in Sean Schultz's face and tell him what I thought. You know, I was like, the first time I met Sean Schultz was at a show when I first met the guys that actually wrestled for TCW when it was still Mid-South before it became TCW. And that was before Granny was ever thought of. And I remember I was standing by the banister taking pictures, and Matt Revere comes in and, you know, he points to his cheek and I give him a kiss, and he goes, woo, you know, he just happened to be facing Sean Schultz that night. And Sean says, Matt Revere, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, hugging and kissing on all those obese women. What are you thinking? And boy, like I said, this was before Granny was ever even thought of. And I was standing there, and I was like, excuse me? I almost kind of sounded like Vicky Guerrero, you know. I said, obese is something that I'm not, and your little troll of a manager, his mama dresses him funny, because Sean Schultz's manager, his hairdo looked like, you know, that country singer Lyle Lovett that's got the big bushy hair on top, looks like a bird's nest, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how his hair looked, and he had this gaudy-looking red plaid suit on. I mean, it was the ugliest thing. You know, I said, your little troll of a manager, his mama dresses him funny. and like I said, that was before Granny was ever even, before I even came up with the Granny Hulkster name, you know. So, but I loved Harley. Harley was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I miss him. I really do.
Yeah, so, you hear Rick. It's, And Stro, I know, again, I'm going to throw you under the bus. I know you've talked to Flair. If you ever talk to Flair about Harley, you just see the change in Flair's demeanor and how much regard he had for that guy. And, Harley definitely was another one of those. If you had to put together an NWA Mount Rushmore or the NWA, the problem with calling it a Mount Rushmore is that they always limit it to four people. There was so much in the NWA back in the day that made that stuff exciting that aren't with us anymore. You got to expand more than four. But, yeah, Harley Race would definitely be on that list.
One story I can tell you about Harley and Rick, because, I mean, you're right. I mean, every time I talk to Rick and Harley gets brought up, I mean, he just lights up, man. One time I was with them at a convention where they were Rick was on stage honoring Harley, right, and talking about how, you know, back in the day how tough he was and everything, right, and then how he could drink anybody under the table. And he sees Harley in the front row drinking iced tea. And Rick just steps back and he says, "Harley, you got to be kidding me. I just spent the last few minutes seeing how tough you are. You're the biggest, baddest drinker in the business, and you are drinking iced tea. That's it. After this show, I'm taking you to the bar to redeem yourself."
Now, Tim, I'll tell you, that was a good call with Crash Holly. He was another tragedy, man. He was another one that, you know, it was sad endings for a guy that had so much talent and had so much ahead of him. So that was definitely a good call, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught my disclaimer. I completely pulled that out of my ass. Actually, I forgot to throw this out there. The reason what – so I found him, and this is kind of silly on me, but so what I did is I thought I'd be a little creative. And keeping into the spirit, you know, with St. Patrick's Day here coming up on us right quick and in a hurry, I Googled for wrestlers, dead wrestlers known as leprechauns. And I got nothing, but the very first thing was Crash. So I thought, I'll just take it and run with it.
Yeah. Wow. Crying out loud.
There's nothing that tied to him at all as far, you know, because I read the bio, so there was nothing that tied to him at all anyway. But for some reason, he was the first one that came up in the search when I did it that way. So anyway, that's where he came from. But yeah,
and
it looked like he had a pretty tragic. And they,
that poor guy.
According to it now, this is Wikipedia that I saw. So, you know, we were all taught in school. You can't reference Wikipedia because anybody can put anything they want out there. But according to that, it said that his death was ruled. This is kind of BS if you ask me, if it is true. But so he obviously had done, he had overdosed. They found like pill bottles, I guess, and an alcohol bottle. And apparently he had actually aspirated on his own vomit. And they ruled it a freaking suicide. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a little hard to do. Yeah, that's I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Oh, no, I think that's bullshit. I mean,
yeah.
Think if he has insurance. Because insurance companies don't necessarily pay anything out for suicides.
Correct.
You know, so that right there. I agree with that. What his situation was, but yeah, that's lame if that's what they did.
Yeah, that's not right. So Stro, your turn, my brother. Hit us with another one.
Oh man. Oh gosh. Returns. God, there's so many I would like to bring back. And I mentioned Dusty earlier, and my God, man, I can't tell you enough about Dusty and what a smart man creatively he was behind the scenes. A lot of the things we've seen in the wrestling industry in the past decades were his brainchild. I mean, from the Great American Bashes, the Stampedes, the War Games matches, and several, and the talent he helped produce. Even to this day, the talents, some of the talents today were because of his tutelage and guidance. So, man, I just and including yours truly, he's helped me out so much through the years. I mean, he even remembered me when I was younger going to the Florida Championship Wrestling shows down that way.
Yeah.
And later in the business with him and, give me advice and everything. And, I mean, and we just, our paths just kept bumping to each other. And every time we'd come across, he was so helpful and just put things in your ear that you can, like, kind of roll with, you know what I mean, creatively.
Yeah.
And it was just not many people know this, because, I mean, he was very charismatic, as we all know, you know, on camera and in the matches and doing his thing, right? But behind the scenes, man, he was a machine, man. His creativity was just on a whole new level.
I love when Stro does his Dusty Rhodes impersonations. I think that's amazing.
Oh, my God. He's so infectious. I mean, being around the guy so much. He just got around the guy so much. Oh, guys, let me pull something up here real quick, and I'll read this off to you real fast.
I was actually talking at work about doing a Dusty Rhodes cover album, where we sing songs all in Dusty Rhodes' voice. And one of the first songs that came to mind was the Smokey Robinson hit, "Ooh, Baby, Baby." You know what I'm...
Right. Well, let me hit you with the Hard Times promo. That hit one of his all-time best, right?
God, that's funny.
Okay. All right, here we go. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking this time, because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the wrestling fans. It is to Jim Crockett Promotions and Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. With that weight, I got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't want to say a whole lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There's no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times is when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay their wages, can't pay the food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them, go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job for 30 years. They kick him, they give him a watch, they kick him in the butt and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times. That's hard times. And Ric Flair, he put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard times. We all had hard times together. And I admit, I don't look like the athlete of the week. My belly's a little big. My hyena's a little big, but brother, I'm bad. They know I'm bad. There are two people, bad people in this world. One was John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. And the other right here, Nature Boy Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering, the biggest body of people in this country, in the universe, all over the world now. Reaching out because the love that's given me. And this time I will pay you now, because I will be the next world heavyweight champion, this Hard Time Blues Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world, and that's the world heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I come back for you, for the man upstairs that died 10 to 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a world champion. And I'm proud of you. Thank God I have you, and I love you. I love you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is
very
awesome.
Nice.
That
awesome,
is awesome.
Man.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube if you get time. I mean, that promo is amazing.
That's what Dusty was all about, man. He could throw a promo in a heartbeat. And going back to what I was saying about the wrestling purists, that was part of the reason why Dusty never fit in the WWE, because he wasn't an Ultimate Warrior. He wasn't a Hulk Hogan. He was Dusty Rhodes, and his talent was stirring that. He wasn't a cartoon. He was Dusty Rhodes. And he was amazing stuff. And if you're ever having a bad day, much like Gene Okerlund, if you're ever having a bad day, just YouTube Dusty Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes promo. And I'm telling you, if you don't pee your pants laughing.
My buddy William Regal, he's now in AEW, right?
Right.
He was telling me when he first got to WCW in Center Stage in Atlanta, he just got to America from the UK, right? He was he was telling the time he first met Dusty there in Center Stage, right? So he walks in Dusty's office, right? And, you know, and I'll try to do this voice best I can, right? Okay, here we go. So I'm up here in Center Stage in Atlanta, seeing Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and I walk in his office, and there's Dusty sitting in the chair, looked like a melted sundae. And he has this big gentleman beside him, next to his desk, and he looks at me, stares at me, and he says, "Steven, I'm just like Whitney Houston. I got my own bodyguard." And that's all he said. And I just nodded my head and walked out the door.
Yeah, what are you going to say to that, right?
Great
stuff, man. Now, I'll tell you, and Stro, you are the man. Very much obliged for you adding that. That made the evening right there, young man. I appreciate it.
For sure.
So
for
what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit on two more, and we'll wrap things up because we're getting close to extra innings, as we always do here at Pop Culture Stars. But one of them, and it's funny, Dale and I, when we got together, Dale never watched any wrestling prior to me and her getting together. And, you know, then me and her get together, and before you know it, she's traveling to these arenas and watching the fights and dealing with a boyfriend, fiance, husband who walks around in Stone Cold and Ric Flair shirts and wants to name his kid after Stone Cold. So she missed out on a lot of the Cyndi Lauper, Lou Albino stuff and everything. So I've got this great big Superman robe that she got me for Christmas. I mean, this thing is comfortable as hell, and it's huge. I mean, you put it on, and it just, like, absorbs you, you know? So in the wintertime, I'll put that thing on, wear it around the house, you know? And so, of course, I was full of shit one night, and I had that robe on. We were getting ready to go to bed, and before I take the robe off, I hit the old... And I want all you Hershey-fed heifers out there to sit back, get your old ladies closer to the TV screen, and watch me take off my robe so that way they know what a real man's supposed to look like. Hit the music. Well, I start taking my robe off, and I'm shaking my ass like Rick Rube, and she's just sitting there in bed just looking at me like, "What in the hell is wrong with you?" And I stopped, and I was like... And it dawned on me that she didn't even know who the hell Rick Rude was. So, of course, I had to go through the whole history of Rick Rude and the taking off the robe and the Kathy Lee Gifford thing and all. And it totally killed the joke, totally killed the moment. I was expecting her to, you know, get a good charge out of it. Here I was stripping down for no reason at all. But so I definitely miss Rick. He's another one that if I had a chance to bring him back into the fold, Rick Rude would be another one. But lastly, and this one's probably going to get a few eyes misty, Stro, get your tissues. That's a little hint, nudge, nudge for me. a gentleman that is near and dear to pop culture stars' hearts, and a guy that I was very, very privileged and lucky to meet before his passing, and Stro can keep us up till 5 in the morning telling us stories about this gentleman. But Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear,
yep.
That gentleman right there, first off, he belongs in the Hall. I don't give a damn what nobody says. Why he is not in the WWE Hall of Fame is just totally baffling to me. And sometimes I think he's been forgotten for whatever reason. And but, you know, you see him on TV, and I know when I was a 10-year-old kid watching him on TV, I was like, Christ almighty, this guy is terrifying. You know, and Nikita Koloff was big, and he'd get on there, you know, I break you. But, man, Ivan was the one you didn't want to screw with. Ivan was just flat nasty. And I saw him fight Wahoo in an Indian strap match one night in Savannah, Georgia, and they beat the living shit out of one another. I mean, you ain't never seen. And they talk about wrestling being fake. Well, let me tell you something. The welts on those gentlemen's backs and arms and legs, they were not fake. They were damn whipping one another's ass with that leather belt or that leather strap. That was no joke. They were wrapping around one another's necks and dragging each other around the ring. Blood was everywhere. And I'm a 10-year-old kid, a big Wahoo fan, and I'm looking at it. I'm going, Wahoo going to die? I mean, because Ivan Koloff was no joke. So fast forward the tape to 1994, and he was signing autographs in a Walmart here in town. So me and my roommate are in there, and I walk by this table with this gentleman sitting at it, and I says, God damn, if that don't look like Ivan Koloff back there. So my roommate looks back over and goes, dude, it is. So I was like, what the hell is Koloff doing here, man? And it took me a probably good 15 minutes to work up the guts to go over there and see, to actually see him, you know? I walk up there, the guy's eating a Big Mac, and I have this rule. You never mess with people when they're eating. It's just, being in management for 100 years, I could tell you that the staff never talks to you unless you're in the bathroom or you're eating or you're going home. I don't give a damn what nobody says. If you've ever been in management, the only time people talk to you is when you're trying to get out of the building, when you're trying to piss, or when you're trying to eat. So I see him eating. I don't want to interrupt him. So I kind of just shuffle up there with my roommate. And I'll be damned if Ivan didn't put that burger down, get up out of his chair, shake our hands, give us all a hug, starts, I mean, here's a guy who just met us 30 seconds ago, and he starts talking to us like he's known us forever. And, you know, it was just an incredible experience. And fast forward it to when we were at Cape FearCon in Wilmington. And, Stro, of course, you were there. And, you know, I was able to go over there and talk to Koloff and held the Russian chain. That's a heavy-ass chain. I'm here to tell you, that is a heavy-ass chain. Hold the belt the whole nine yards, and you're not going to find a more endearing, kind, good man like you did Ivan Koloff. And, I mean, for the guy that he was in the ring, scaring the piss out of 10-year-old kids like myself, I'm glad I had the opportunity to meet him later on in life, because I can't help but think that he's up there in the clouds right now, sitting in some pretty lofty company, because he was a fantastic gentleman. And, yeah, I can't say enough good about him. And he's definitely missed. He belongs in the Hall. And that's that. Enough said, right?
Oh, man. And he's done so much for the business. He was one of the few people, actually, that defeated Bruno Sammartino back in the day when Bruno had the
That's
big
right.
run as a WWF back then champion. And it's, I mean, he was former tag team champions with Don Carnoodle. And, of course, along with Nikita and Khrushchev, they had the Russians going on. Amazing run he's had. I mean, and he was with Georgia Championship. I mean, he's literally been all over the world, been there and done that. Like you said, he had that intimidating, terrifying presence about him, but he was like the sweetest guy. And I wish more people could have gotten to know that other side of Ivan, because he was like the nicest guy you ever want to meet, hands down.
Totally agree. And, you know, the bull that he had to put up with outside of the ring, with playing the Russian, back in the 70s, when he beat Sammartino, this guy had to deal with death threats and all that kind of jazz, and people were crazy. You know, I had to deal with my own stalker here this past year over the books. I never considered myself remotely famous from writing these books, but I actually had a gentleman who pulled up in my yard and interrupted my dinner and wanted me to read his book. And it was creepy as hell to have that happen. And he even returned one evening and faced off with my son. And my son, you know, wasn't giving him no time. And I was in the shower. I had just come home from doing about 9 hours worth of damn concrete scrubbing with my business. And this all went on when I was in the shower. So I get out of the shower, and my son kind of pulled his steam, and I'm like, what's going on? And he said, you know, do you know this asshole? And don't get me wrong, this house is well fortified, but it still is very unsettling to have somebody do that to you. And, you know, you think about Koloff, and the stuff that he had to put up with just by the character that he was playing, and, still held no grudges and turned out to be the superhero that he was, later on in life. So yeah, definitely Ivan Koloff would be on that list of guys let me have back. So
one time I had a stalker show up at a date I had in a restaurant one time.
No way.
And just showed up at my table, right? And I was acting all weird, right? So my date and I finally got up, and I summoned the waiter over, and I told the waiter, I said, they'll take the check. He walked out, so he had to pay the bill.
Yeah, I mean, how in the hell do you handle that kind of stuff? Because they come out of nowhere.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
And it seems like these guys know everything about you, and I guess that's the creepy part of it, is that they kind of seem like they know more about you than you know about yourself. And very, very unsettling, you know. But with all that being said, I'm going to pass it around the room and get the final parting shots for this evening. So, Stro, as always, my brother, I'm going to pass it on to you. Fill us in on what you got going on.
Oh, man. Next 3 days will be kind of busy. Tomorrow night, WCW Retro. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at VSNation.com. We will be discussing the best feuds in wrestling. So if you have a favorite feud through the years you'd like to share, please call in. It should be a lot of fun. And then Friday night, my hard sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be The Brain That Wouldn't Die from back in the day. So please tune in for that. And then Saturday, I'm going to be a special guest at the Power Comic Con at the Florence Center in Florence, South Carolina, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I'll be out there with some of the fellow cast from The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story. They'll be on hand. So come by and join us, and we'll have a cosplay contest going on and everything. And Batgirl will be there as well. So check us out this Saturday. For more information, go to powercon.com for more info. And thank you for having me. It's always a blast here at Pop Culture Stars.
Outstanding. No, I appreciate you joining us. Perfect perfect showing tonight, man. I mean, we had a hell of a good show. I really enjoyed it this evening. So I appreciate all the input and the nostalgia and the Dusty Rhodes impression. It's always welcome here at Pop Culture Stars. You know that. So,
no, thank you.
And
thank you.
Things are heating up in the con scene. So hopefully me and you will be crossing paths a lot more often coming up here now that Vladimir Putin invaded the Ukraine and ran coronavirus off all of a sudden. So it's getting back. Kind of amazing how Fauci has not been anywhere seen since. And that's a whole different show, but you guys have heard me say it, that we needed a new crisis. And by God, we got one, and all of a sudden coronavirus went away along with Fauci. But that's a different show. And but it's good to see the cons getting back on, and there's some things on the horizon, Stro, that I don't know if you've gotten word of, but I'm sure I'll see you in Myrtle Beach. And if I don't see you before then, me and you will be covering much ground, because it looks like we're getting back in business, young man, and I'm looking forward to it because I miss my cons, baby.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait.
Miss them a lot. So, yeah, and in Florence, keep your eyes open, because that's where a Care Bear goes to die. Florence is a Lord.
Yeah. Florence,
drive around Florence when you can, folks. It is not the best towns in the United States. Yeah.
They still had that Thunderbird breakfast buffet there off of 95.
You got to be kidding me.
I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
It looks like the old Thunderbird place there in Jacksonville, too. It's hilarious.
Yeah, the AIDS capital of the United States. I'll never forget when they got tagged with that. They actually got tagged with that. For all of y'all who don't know that, there used to be a place here in Jacksonville called the Thunderbird Lounge, and it was actually deemed as the number one place in the nation to catch AIDS. Over all the places else in the United States, the Thunderbird Lounge was deemed as the number one place to catch AIDS.
Oh, man. Unreal.
I mean, it's crazy. So with all that being said, though, hey, Stro, very appreciative of you joining us this evening, man. Keep fighting a good fight. Love you, man. So,
love you too, brother.
Granny Hulkster.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, you talk about cons going on. My family and I are going to one Saturday up here in Rogers, Arkansas. It's the Northwest Arkansas Comic Con, and it's going to be a lot of people there, but there are two people that I am very anxious to get to meet, and that's the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Booker T.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, and when I get to meet them, I'm going to tell them, and we'll say, yeah, and by the way, guys, Granny and family will see you at WrestleCon when we come to Texas at the end of the month. So I'm looking forward to that. I know my son, he's excited. He actually bought the tickets for me and my husband and himself, you know, the one-day ticket, you know, because we're just going to go the one day. But, and like I said, Granny's on countdown for her big trip to Texas for WrestleMania. I'm excited about that. And we had a good show at Ozark Mountain Wrestling this past Saturday. It was their debut show. And I tell you guys, you know, I've been helping them promote the shows, you know, putting out flyers all over town, and we got there early to kind of get the last minute things ready for the show Saturday. And my friend Kevin Nichols, he goes by Ivan Warsaw, he wanted to get a group picture of all the wrestlers. He says, Granny, go get your Granny shirt on and get in the ring with us for the group picture. So that really made me feel really good. And
yeah,
getting to meet Rodney Mack, you know, that was awesome. And he said, I went up before the show when he got there, and I went to introduce myself to him. He says, oh, Granny, I know who you are. Even without your Granny shirt, I know who you are, you know. And of course, he was the heel for the match against Ivan Warsaw, and boy, he comes up and he's hollering at me and shaking at me. He says, "Old woman, you better sit down and shake." And I said, "Make me, Rodney. You're not man enough to make Granny sit down and shut up, you know." And I mean, it was just a really good show. Had a good turnout. My husband and I, we got our picture with him after the show, and I tell you, I am just really looking forward to, you know, just the vacation coming up at the end of the month. I just want to give a shout-out to all my Oklahoma wrestling family members, their referees, workers. You know, we lost a really good referee this past Monday. Either passed away Monday night or Tuesday, and his name was Ling Yang. He actually wrestled a refereed under the name Sol Yang, and just a really great guy, and he passed away Monday night or early Tuesday morning. I'm not sure when, but just prayers for his family, the many friends that knew and loved him, as we all did. I mean, you know, I don't know the details. I don't want to know the details, because he was such a great guy. He would always have a hug for me, always, you know, make Anthony feel really good, you know, always talk to Anthony, you know, always said, I'm glad to see you, Granny, glad you're here. And he always, you know, he was always so nice to us, and he's really going to be missed. And so, you know, it's been a rough week, you know, but it has to get better. You know, things are going to get better, and I keep believing that the things are going to get better, and, you know, they have to. And I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week. Love each other. Be kind to each other. You know, if somebody's struggling, hey, reach out to that person, you know. And, I mean, you know, my son deals with depression and anxiety, and I would really hope that point where he got so depressed and needed to talk to somebody, that he would reach out to one of my wrestling family members and contact them and say, "Hey, I need to talk to you. Can you take a few minutes to talk to me?" I would hope that he would do that, or that he could do that, you know, instead of just, you know, falling in that dark world, you know, feeling like that they don't fit in, feeling like they don't, you know, deserve to be around, you know. I just hope that Anthony never feels that way. So,
yeah.
Big hugs to everybody, and, you know, I'm going to try to be on next week. I'm not so sure if I'll actually be on the night of the 30th, because that's the day we're going to be leaving for Dallas. So I'm not sure if I'm actually going to be on that night, you know, that last Wednesday of the month, but I'll try my best to be on next week if possible. But just, you know, big hugs to everybody.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's great to have you aboard, Granny, and condolences.
Thank you. Love y'all.
Yeah, big condolences to your friend and his family and everything. It's always sad news to hear that kind of stuff. And, you know, and again, like I said, you know, I used to never believe in the hereafter, but then some things happened to me a couple of years. You know, I buried my best friend at 32 years old, and, you know, I lost my dear mother-in-law 13 years ago, and some things happened. And since those things have happened to me, I've slowed down and kind of looked and said, you know what, there is something waiting for us on the other side. So, yeah, that's just know that these folks are still there and they're still watching out for us. And even though they're not here to shake our hand or give us a hug, they are closer to us now than ever before. So keep that in mind. But, yeah, I think,
well,
Granny,
that's like
it's been
Scott Hall. That's like Kevin Nash said in his Twitter about Scott Hall. He said, you know, he didn't, you know, believe much about the afterlife, you know, but he said that Scott Hall did say the only perfect person was nailed to a cross and crucified. So, you know,
none of us
are perfect. And
that is correct.
You have to remember that.
And, you know, and he died for a reason, so we could be imperfect. you just got to you got to respect the sacrifice that was made, and you will enjoy the benefits, to put it in layman's terms. So, yeah, most definitely. And Granny, much love to you. Always good to have you aboard. Always good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. Love to you all too. So.
Absolutely. Now, to the former birthday boy, my brother Tim. How about hitting us up with some parting shots?
I don't have much to say. I'd like to say that I'd be headed to bed right now, but, you know, I'm in that same predicament with the daylight savings. So, really, my body's going, hey, dude, it's 9:45. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, you know, but I'm going to try to hit the sack and get some good sleep. But I do want to say happy St. Patrick's Day. It's tomorrow.
Yep.
Everybody, get your green beer drinking on. But please remember, be safe. Big hug.
Yes.
Love one another.
Yes.
Take care of others.
And don't
take care of yourself.
Corned beef and cabbage.
There you go.
Yeah, gotta have
that's
that.
All I got, man.
Absolutely. Man, it was good to have you aboard this evening. Hope you had a great birthday. It looked like you did. But it's always good to have you aboard. Always appreciate your help here, Pop Culture Stars. Big love, brother. So for me, quick parting shots again. Want to give the nod to the great Scott Hall and appreciate everything that he did for us. As a good guy and a bad guy, he will be definitely missed. All the best that we could possibly muster up going to our good brother, the amazing Velvet. Keep fighting, dude. You got a lot of people pulling for you, man. You got this. And lastly, to my Atlanta Braves, y'all didn't sign Freddie Freeman. And perhaps one day I will find a way in my heart to forgive you for it. I know you traded for Matt Olson, who was a fantastic young man and a great first baseman. And as some say, he is a 6 years younger Freddie Freeman. But he's not Freddie. Freddie was the Atlanta Braves, and he took over the mantle when Chipper Jones retired. And as a diehard, lifelong Braves fan, I am legitimately pissed that y'all did not re-sign that young man. He's an ambassador to the city, ambassador to the team, and he's also an ambassador to baseball. He has no ego. He has fun. He plays ball. And y'all suck. For not signing that gentleman. And so help me Christ, if I see him in Dodger blue or in Yankee pinstripes, I will have several mini strokes and probably will never be the same again. But Freddie, I know you're not listening, but in the event you ever slip up and do listen to this broadcast, I'm going to miss you badly because you are one of the last ball players in the league. And, you just ain't going to look right in any other uniform but a Braves uniform, man. So with all that being said, I am going to kind of gather up these beer bottles so that way my neighbors don't think I'm a total drunk. You got to hide it. Keep all the beer bottles in the back of the house so they don't know how much you do drink. I'm going to slither in. Y'all can hear the door. I was in the front door instead of fighting the janky sliding glass door out back that's famous here on Pop Culture Stars. And I'm going to set my beer bottles down and drop my almost dead beer bottle down and get to my laptop here. And I'm going to thank everybody for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars. Always appreciate everybody. And hope everybody stays safe. And as I always say, keep your eyes open. Don't believe everything you hear. Do some self-educating. And be safe. Be kind to one another. All right? Y'all have a wonderful weekend or a week. And we will see you next Wednesday here at Pop Culture Stars.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night all.
And British lady, where you at? There you go.